Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of BBFOhio.com as we begin this study of Daniel chapter 11, verses 21 through 25, titled Antiochus, or if you like, Antiochus, to Antichrist. If you have any questions, comments, or prayer requests, please send those by email to bbbfohio@yahoo.com, or you can send them by U.S. Postal to P.O. Box 662, Worthington, Ohio, 43085. And now we begin our study of Daniel chapter 11, verses 21 through 25, titled Antiochus to Antichrist. This is part one of two.
All right, let's open with a word of prayer, and then we'll get into our Bible study. We'll be in Daniel 11. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this time in your word. Just pray you help us to focus our attention on your words, and that our hearts would be submissive and teachable. That includes me. I thank you for what you've taught me. I thank you for the opportunity to share. But beyond what you've taught me, you will still speak to each heart where they are and what they need to hear by the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Sing something?
Yes.
When your moon hits the eye like a big pizza. I sang it wrong on purpose. That's how Dean sang it when he had too many. All right, we're going to do a current events update before we get into the study. This is what we call an outhouse issue. It's not in-house, therefore it's outhouse. How many of you remember the cake baker, I think his name Jack Phillips, remember he won in the Supreme Court? Part two. He has now been, let's just read it. On Tuesday, according to the Daily Caller, Christian baker Jack Phillips, who was recently handed a victory at the Supreme Court after the Colorado Civil Rights Commission, which is a fascist state organization, discriminated against him on the basis of religion by fining him for not baking a same-sex wedding cake. Well, that same fascist Colorado state organization filed a new lawsuit, actually, they penalized him, and he has now filed a new lawsuit against them. They said that they're filing a civil rights violation on his part because he would not bake a gender transition celebration cake. Now, for those of you liberals who are anti-science, let me let you in on a little secret. There are only two genders. Amen. Male and female. All other claims of gender are insane, nuts, goofballs. It is absolutely sick and insane that we live in a country where the citizens of this country are so stupid and nuts that they are going to penalize you for not being a liar because you won't look at a man and call him a woman, or you won't look at a woman and call her a man. You can be in trouble for that. That'll get you in trouble. That'll get you in trouble. That's what I'm saying. We're in that. In New York, you can get fired, and if you're a doctor, you can be fired in certain states. And we, just a couple weeks ago, I showed you some examples over in England. There's several doctors who spent all that time studying to be a doctor. They studied science, and they lost their job for not being a nut. They lost their job for not looking at a man and calling him a woman. This country is becoming the pit of hell. Telling people that they have to call a man a woman and a woman a man. Calling two men and two women who pay off some godless fake preacher or a justice of the peace, calling them married. Killing little babies in the womb of their mothers, calling it a choice. Let me tell you something. This is superstitious nonsense. Amen. It is myth mystical. It's mysticism. That is a baby in that womb. And anybody who says otherwise is a godless liar. And a man is a man. And a woman is a woman.
Amen.
And what is this country coming to?
Yep.
Bunch of nuts. It will not end this side of the rapture. It's going to keep getting worse and worse. The godless are going to become more and more godless. Next thing they're doing right now, the LGBTQ movement is trying to bring down the age of consent so they can have sex with your children. They want your children next. Now, I'm not making it up. That's exactly what they're doing. And then beyond that, then they're trying to push laws to advance polygamy, so that a man can have numerous wives. And if they pass both of those laws, some of their wives will be high school girls. Just think about that, how wicked this country is becoming. Yeah, but it doesn't normally work out that way. Well, you have to talk to all the men and deal with history about that. Now, we're studying in Daniel 11. We're picking up in verse 21. And we're seeing history that came true, prophesied by Daniel. But beginning in this lesson, we're going to see Antiochus, or Antiochus, according to who your professor or what book you read taught you how to pronounce it. And we're going to see he is a type of Antichrist. So what has already happened with Antiochus or Antiochus will be fulfilled by Antichrist as well, for the most part. There are some places that are a little question mark. We're going to talk about that when we get there. But all of what we just talked about, and what we talk about most of the time with our current event updates, is setting the stage. Folks, you are living in the day where the stage is being set for the man of sin. Wickedness in the flesh. And the majority of professing Christians and the majority of Americans are going to follow that wicked man. Their hearts already belong to Satan. Their hearts, if you think, oh, well, I believe you should look for the best in everybody. Well, you think God's wrong then, because God said the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it?
Amen.
God. He's the one that tries the reins. But man's heart is wicked. And we're seeing it play out right now. As we read verse by verse, we'll see that Antiochus is a type of Antichrist, point by point. And we left off with Seleucus Philopater, or Philopater, I like Philopater better, was poisoned and died. And that fulfilled what it said, that within a few days he was destroyed, neither in anger nor in battle. He was poisoned. And that's where we left off in our previous study. We pick up in verse 21. Go ahead and read the whole verse with me. And in his estate shall stand up a vile person, to whom they shall not give the honor of the kingdom, but he shall come in peaceably and obtain the kingdom by flatteries. Now I want to point this out, that I believe that I've heard many times, and I know Jenny has heard it too. Verse 20, it says, then shall stand up in his estate a raiser of taxes in the glory of the kingdom. That's the guy who comes before Antichrist. And the reason why I'll explain that is what we're going to see in the book of Revelation. As you, if you go back and listen to our studies there, the Antichrist will share, we're going to see in the next verse, actually, in a couple of verses. He's going to conquer and spread the wealth. But it's not going to be just as a raiser of taxes. He will actually go to war. And so that marks the difference. I think he'll continue the taxation of the previous leader. But in verse 21, it begins by saying, and in his estate shall stand up a vile person. That's in the estate of the man who is the raiser of taxes. He's the socialist. He wants to redistribute the wealth. He wants to steal from A to give to B. And If you don't already know this, that's socialism. And the problem with socialism is you always run out of other people's money. And so socialism fails every time it's tried because it's a godless, anti-biblical system. And we're going to do a study on that in a few weeks. But it's against the biblical model of private property ownership, personal responsibility. You do pay taxes, but that's different than socialism, where socialism basically takes over the system, takes over private property. And this vile person, he's a sodomite. He comes and he stands in the place of this raiser of taxes. Clarence Larkin said this in his book, his commentary, the Book of Daniel. And this was published in 1929, by the way. Quote, he was given up to the most degraded and unnatural passions. Unnatural passions is a man with a woman with a woman, a man with more than one woman at a time, or any other sort of group sex, or a man or a woman with an animal. And again, that's going on right now. Yeah. Right now. All over this country and all over the world. And the wicked are getting more wicked and getting ready for this man. The man of sin who's going to have these unnatural passions just like Antiochus did. The word vile, V-I-L-E, not V-I-A-L. There are other cross references. Not all of them say that it's a reference to sodomy, but some do. And we'll see that when you compare Scripture with Scripture, Brother John, amen, that you'll see that, personal joke there, Judges chapter 19, verse 24. Look there real quick. Keep your finger in Daniel 9. Turn over to Joshua, Judges, right before Ruth. Chapter 19 and verse 24. You want to get definitions for Bible words? You look at the way the Bible uses that word, and then look at the context of what you're reading and other information that adds light to that. And that's what we're going to do right now. The word vile, vile person. Judges chapter 19, verse 24. These are the Benjamites. Verse 22 says, now as they were making their hearts merry, behold, the men of the city, certain sons of Belial, beset the house round about and beat at the door and spake to the master of the house, the old man, saying, bring forth the man that came into thine house that we may know him. This is a gay pride event, and they are demanding that this man be handed over to them so they can sodomize him. Now that's exactly what happened. Similar thing happened with the angels that went to Lot's house, and we heard about that Sunday. Amen. But this is a different story. This is the Benjamites. Verse 23, and the man, the master of the house, went out unto them and said unto them, nay, my brethren, nay, I pray you, do not so wickedly, seeing that this man is coming to mine house, do not this folly. And like Lot, verse 24, he says, behold, here is my daughter, a maiden, and his concubine. Them I will bring out now and humble ye them and do with them what seemeth good unto you, but unto this man do not so vile a thing. First point is that it's a sick thing to try to hand over the women, but the first point you have to notice there is that they consider heterosexual rape to not be as vile as sodomy. Even though heterosexual rape was a capital offense that gets you executed. That's how bad sodomy is. While America is applauding it and congratulating every one of these LGBTQ whatever who come out of the closet announcing their perversion, God says it's abominable and makes him want to vomit. America says, oh, we like it. We're okay with it. Well, that's what happened here. The Benjamites were okay with it too. And it says, he says, but unto this man do not so vile a thing. He's talking about men having sex with men. So Daniel 11:25 says, and in his estate shall stand up a vile person. What's vile? Well, we have an example in Judges 19:24. Vile is men having sex with men. Romans 1:26. Keep Daniel 11 open, but go over to Romans 1:26. Romans 1:26 is in the context of Paul writing to Rome and saying, "Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves." Verse 24. Verse 25, "Who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen." And now verse 26, read that with me. "For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of a woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error, which was meat," etc. and so forth. A vile person right there. Vile affections is same-sex sex. Same-gender sex is vile. So you have two different cross-references that say a vile person potentially is a sodomite. And this man, the Antichrist, Antiochus, is referred to as a vile person. And what do we see in verse 37 of Daniel 11? You got your Bible open to Daniel 11? Daniel 11, verse 37. "Neither shall he regard the God of his fathers, nor the desire of women." He's a sodomite. He's in the men. Think about that, kids, when you're at Ohio State University and they're telling you it's okay to be gay. They're preaching the gospel of the Antichrist. Think about that when you're watching your TV show and the gay character is always nice and sweet and the Christian's always the crazy lunatic. You're being brainwashed and you're being prepared for the Antichrist. Think about that when you turn on the news tonight and you see that hundreds of priests in Pennsylvania have been raping little boys, thousands of them, for decades. That priesthood of Rome that the Bible says forbidding to marry is a doctrine of devils. And so they came up with the priesthood of Rome and forbid them to marry. So now they're raping little boys. And the head of that priesthood is the Pope. And the final pope will be the Antichrist, and he'll be a sodomite. And then go visit 100 evangelical churches and see if any of the men there in the pulpits will tell you that. Say, "Oh, now, Greg, start tooting your own horn." I don't have to toot my horn. All I got to do is stand up here and preach the truth. And anybody with any sense can see that there aren't very many men willing to preach that truth that I just shared with you. Why? Because the people in the pews have itching ears and they gather to themselves teachers who will itch those ears. And those preachers don't want to speak the truth because then the pews will empty out, the offering will dwindle, their paycheck will shrink, their benefits will shrivel, and they might have to get a real job. Or what? Oh, poor baby. Yeah, poor baby. Amen. And as we march toward Armageddon, we see Laodicea preparing for Antichrist. The churches are getting ready for the Antichrist. When you go into a church and a preacher won't simply preach the truth of the Bible because it goes against your culture, goes against your favorite TV actor, goes against your TV news, goes against what's on the movies, goes against Oprah and Dr. Phil and who's the latest, I don't know because I don't watch the garbage, goes against The View, goes against The Talk, goes against The Chew, I don't even know what he's saying. You're attending a church that is an Antichrist mission. That preacher is a missionary for Antichrist. He is preparing his congregation for the main sodomite, the man of sin, the vile person. Here's real Christian, say it again. Real Christians preach this: homosexuality is sin. Be careful, Jenny will tell you, it could get you run over if you have a sign like that and you're standing on the street corner. But that's what real Christians preach. But Laodicea says, let me do it like this. Laodicea says, I'm cool with it. That's the Laodicean Jesus. Oh, they picture him with the beard and the long hair and the robe. But he loves Sodom. I'm sure he is. And what you're finding is more and more of these churches, if they won't preach the truth about Sodom, you're finding it more and more in the pulpit, more and more in the leadership, and of course, more and more in the pews. The Lutheran church down here, 161, at one time had a decent congregation with a decent pastor decades ago. Today, they brag about being radically inclusive, embracing Sodom. So a Sodomite comes into this church. Do we throw things at them and spit at them and call them names? No, we don't. But while they're here, and if they're here right now, they'd hear this message. I wouldn't change it. They'd hear the truth. We love them enough to tell them the truth. Sadly, we've had a few of them come in over the years, and all but a couple of them ran out. And then I won't get into what happened to the other. But most churches, these folks, these poor, wicked sinners who need to be saved, can go to these churches their entire lives, and they will never be confronted with the truth. That preacher at the Lutheran church, and if you ever meet him or her, whoever it is down there, you can tell him Pastor Greg Miller, Bible Believers Fellowship, said that they are wicked. That preacher of that Lutheran church hates homosexuals. He or she doesn't care if they go to hell. They sleep at night without a conscience, knowing that they are not confronting sinners with the need of salvation. They're content to send those people to hell so that they can keep getting their money. And I love them enough that if they come in here with $1 million check and said, I'll give you this if you just don't preach against sodomy anymore, I'll say, write void on that check. Any of you homos out there want to try me? Bring your checks. I won't take it. Amen. But those guys, Jesus called them hirelings. That's what Jesus called them. They're paid off. Continues in verse 21, says, to whom they shall not give the honor of the kingdom. Now Antiochus was not the legit ruler. He squeezed in on his brother's turf. And that's exactly like Antichrist. That's why we call him Antichrist. He's a counterfeit. And so the thing that'll make him angry and the reason why he's beheading Christians in the tribulation of Daniel's 70th week is because they will not give him the honor of the kingdom. The Christians, now after the rapture, there won't be a single Christian on the planet. Then after that, people will start to believe and be saved and they'll reject that mark of the beast. And they will not honor the Antichrist, and he will kill them. And so you see these liberals, these godless atheists, and they get spitting mad, foaming at the mouth, throwing sodas in faces of teenage boys and threatening women and all that. They got the spirit of Antichrist in them. They're just acting out. But the spirit of Antichrist is in them. They want you dead. Jesus said, they don't hate you, they hate me. And they hate you because I'm in you. We're going to talk about that Sunday. Christ in you. Amen. The hope of glory. Amen. But, here's the thing. Everybody likes people when they're... I like him because, you know, he's not mean. And he says things in a way I like to hear it. And that's the way Antichrist will be. He shall come in peaceably and obtain the kingdom by flatteries. He'll be Joel Osteen in the Pope's getup. Well, Chucky darn, you people, you're just wonderful the way you are. Yeah, that's what he preaches. That's what the Antichrist is going to tell you. They'll change the national anthem because you're going to have a global New World Order. And it could be, I love you. you love me. We're a happy family with a deer, whatever. Jenny's ready to slap somebody. This Jenny. But I tell you what, the other top possibility will be the song that the United Nations already uses as their anthem. Imagine there's no heaven, no hell below us. Here, John Lennon. Imagine all the people living life in vain. They think you're living life in vain because you believe in God and you're serving the Lord. What we ought to be doing is working, as what Peter Ruckman said, making the world a better place to go to hell in. That's what the UN agenda is. Well, that's what... I would say this. You might think this is terrible, but it's true. Antichrist is going to be much nicer than me. You see, I'm not up here to win people over to loving Greg Miller. I'm simply up here to preach the truth. But see, the Antichrist is going to lie to you. And if you're not saved and you're left behind the rapture and you're not a believer, you're going to love it. You're going to eat it up. You're going to take that mark. That's what's going to happen. Antiochus, or Antiochus, like Antichrist, originally gains power through diplomacy and intrigue. You can see that over in Revelation 6. Turn there real quick. Revelation chapter 6. We read and studied this many moons ago. Believe it or not, most of the seminaries will tell you that this is Jesus Christ. That's how spiritually blind most of the seminary professors are. They take Daniel 9:24-27 and take that Antichrist passage and tell you it's Christ. Then they come over here to Revelation 6, another Antichrist passage. And the seminaries across America, 9 out of 10 of them right now, will tell you that this is Christ. This is Jesus here, but it's the Antichrist. Look what it says, verse 1, chapter 6. And I saw when the Lamb opened one of his seals. Who's the Lamb? So obviously, he's the Lamb. He's not who the Lamb sees. See how easy that is? And the seminarians are so spiritually blind, they can't get it. And I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder, one of the four beasts saying, come and see. Verse 2, read that with me. And I saw, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer. Now, we just read that he is going to... where are we at there? It says, he shall come in peaceably. Look over at Revelation 6, verse 2, and it's, he had a bow. What do you need if you're going to use a bow and fight with it? Got to have arrows. He doesn't have any arrows. See, so he's got strength, but he doesn't use it conquering. How does he conquer? He went forth conquering and to conquer, it says. But he conquered without arrows. Well, right here in verse 21, it says he came in peaceably. He obtained the kingdom by flatteries. That's what the Antichrist will do. Verse 22 continues, and with the arms of a flood shall they be overflown from before him and shall be broken. Yea, also the prince of the covenant. Now, back in the fulfillment of this in Antiochus, he began as a team player, but he was a backstabbing snake. And that's, I believe, how the Antichrist will come to power. He will be a team player. There are other examples. We don't have time to run all the references, but you know, we've taught how he will pluck up three and then sit as the head of the rest. See? He pretends to be a team player, comes on the board, but then he plucks up three.